AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The House could take up a vote tonight, but not on the Senate-passed foreign aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Instead, a second attempt to impeach Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
It's a planned do-over following last week's narrow and unexpected defeat. Assuming no one's votes change, perfect attendance would be required for Republicans to get impeachment over the goal line this time. The Biden administration calls the charges against Mayorkas baseless and impeachment a political stunt.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. A U.S. Rear Admiral on board a U.S. ship positioned in the southern Red Sea says the U.S. allied airstrikes on Iranian-backed Houthi operations in Yemen have reduced the capabilities to carry out more attacks, but says the militants are working to change tactics. A major storm in the Northeast finally moving out to the Atlantic. That fast-moving system dumped up to a foot of snow or more in some areas of New York and New England and led to nearly 1,200 flight cancellations today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers' own proposed district boundaries for the state legislature are on their way to his desk after passing both houses of the state legislature this afternoon. Evers has said he'd signed the bill, which could effectively resolve the MAPS lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Advocates say it would take $53 billion to modernize election systems across the country.
We've been working to try to get more consistent and predictable funding from Congress to help support local administrators to get the resources they need and help modernize the election infrastructure that's super outdated in most of the jurisdictions.
Sunwoo Oh is with the progressive nonprofit group Stand Up America. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. Three Beaver Dam firefighters are hurt after an airboat crash on Beaver Dam Lake last night. One of the firefighters is said to be badly injured, but we don't know the details. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office says it happened during training operations around Grape Island. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is leading the investigation into what happened. The DNR says it will have more to say after the investigation is over. Green Bay's public school superintendent is in trouble after some comments he made into a live microphone during a recent radio show appearance in Atlanta. It appears that Claude Tiller Jr. thought no one could hear him during commercial breaks, and he criticized a co-worker and several teachers, sometimes using profanity. Those remarks went live on the show's internet live stream. Details came out at last night's school board meeting. An investigation is underway. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Marquette looks to make it 8 in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles, are on the road against Butler. The team learned now that they're moved up in the rankings to 5th in the nation. The Badgers, now ranked 20th, hope to snap a 4-game losing streak when they host the Ohio State Buckeyes. NBA, the Bucks got another win, this time over the Denver Nuggets, 112-95, Giannis with 35 points. NFL, Super Bowl 58, the most watched event on television ever, 123.4 million. Viewers as the Chiefs beat the 49ers in overtime. I talked to former Badgers and Wisconsin native linebacker Leo Chanel, who forced a Christian McCaffrey fumble in the opening drive and blocked a PAT. Leo talked about Travis Kelce's speech to the team the night before the game.
You know, to see how emotional Travis was, like, you could see in his eyes, like, he wants it, man. Like, you can't say it anymore how much you want it with what he was giving us and how much emotion he was showing. It was awesome.
That's Chiefs linebacker Leo Chanel with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, some sun early, then clouds increasing in the afternoon, high in the mid-40s. Some rain developing tomorrow night, changing to snow overnight, an inch or so by Thursday morning. Some sun in mid-30s by Thursday afternoon. Right now, it's 31.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Coming up Wednesday on Matt Nair On Air, Judge Derek Mosley, the director of the Lubar Center at the Marquette University Law School, joins us at 11:30 to talk about Black History Month. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Take It Back Tuesday edition, a happy hour, rolling into it, Dom. And I'd like to start this hour, if you'll allow and concur.
I allow.
Joe Biden, the president, forcefully condemning Trump's NATO comments over the weekend is un-American. We've got some of this sound. Nate's going to help us. I've got some coverage. Amy Wang at the Washington Post. President Biden on Tuesday forcefully condemned as un-American, those were his words, comments made by former President Donald Trump in which he said he would encourage Russia to invade NATO allies if those countries did not spend enough money on defense, right? That was the threat. Biden delivered the remarks Tuesday to urge Congress to pass $95 billion in national security to aid Israel, Ukraine, and other U.S. allies. The Senate passed the bill early Tuesday morning, but House Speaker Mike Johnson has already rejected the package. That's MAGA Mike. Speaking from the White House, Biden said Trump's comments had sent a dangerous and shameful signal to the world. Biden was referring to a speech Trump had given at a campaign rally in South Carolina, in which he imagined a NATO country asking if the United States would protect them from a Russian attack if they didn't pay. I said, you didn't pay.
Hang on, over here, but I'm not sure that he's imagining this. He's telling this story like it happened. Now, I don't believe that it necessarily happened, but Donald Trump explains the story as if this was a real conversation that he had.
I said, you didn't pay. You're delinquent. He said, yes, let's say that happened. No, I would not protect you, Trump told the crowd then. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. As the Post notes, the worst part of Trump's speech, Biden said Tuesday, was that he means it. Well, we've got some sound. Right. So let's play the sound. Here's President Joe Biden from today. Dom, I'm going to let you call the hits.
Well, let's do it, Nate. Thank you for your hard work today. As always, cut number one, President Biden playing to Putin.
Supporting this bill is standing up to Putin. Opposing it is playing into Putin's hands.
Well, you know, they love some chaos over in this country. All our adversaries do. President Biden urging Speaker Johnson, cut two.
I urge Speaker Johnson to bring it to the floor immediately. Immediately.
It's very critical. Cut three, please, Nate.
This is a critical act for the House to move. It needs to move. The bill provides urgent funding for Ukraine so it can keep defending itself against Putin's vicious, vicious onslaught.
It's a clear message. Cut four.
This bipartisan bill sends a clear message to Ukrainians and to our partners and to our allies around the world. America can be trusted. America can be relied upon. And America stands up for freedom. We stand strong for our allies. We never bow down to anyone, and certainly not to Vladimir Putin. So let's get on with this.
I'm not sure that is the position of all Americans currently, Don. We've even heard some earlier callers today questioning the wisdom of funding foreign aid, providing relief, you know, because we got a border issue. Why is the Ukrainian border more important? Just because they got tanks rolling across their border, you know, and we've got some Guatemalans seeking asylum at ours. It's all the same, is it not? At least in the Telegon, the Foxy News.
No, it is not the same. Standing for democracy, President Joe Biden today, cut five, please, Nate.
Republicans and Democrats in the Senate came together to send a message of unity to the world. It's time for the House Republicans to do the same thing, to pass this bill immediately, to stand for decency, stand for democracy, to stand up to a so-called leader hell-bent on weakening American security.
Standing for democracy. Well said, President Biden. Here he goes now, the president referring to Trump's comments on NATO. Play cut six, please.
The stakes were already high for American security before this bill was passed in the Senate last night. But in recent days, those stakes have risen. And that's because the former president has sent a dangerous and shockingly, frankly, un-American signal to the world. Just a few days ago, Trump gave an invitation to Putin to invade some of our allies, NATO allies. He said if an ally didn't spend enough money on defense, he would encourage Russia to, quote, do whatever the hell they want, end of quote.
Wow. Terrible. Joe Biden referencing the former president on NATO. Cut number seven, please.
No other president in our history has ever bowed down to a Russian dictator. Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I never will. For God's sake, it's dumb. It's shameful. It's dangerous. It's un-American.
Well, he never will. But we know, we saw Trump in Helsinki, Crudy. What a disgusting display. Embarrassment that was.
Why would he, though? That was his question. Why would he, though? Why would Putin interfere in the American elections? Because he strongly denied doing it, Dom. So that was good enough for...
Very powerfully and strongly denied it.
So, that was enough for Trump. I got a little bit more here from the Washington Post coverage of this. Biden said Trump did not understand that the NATO alliance was a sacred commitment the United States had made. Donald Trump looks at this as if it's a burden. When he looks at NATO, he doesn't see the alliance that protects America and the world. He sees a protection racket. That's kind of the way he laid it out.
Totally.
No, I like Joe Biden's analogy. He's doing
NATO,
just fine
these are
here.
Some beautiful windows you got here. I'm selling insurance. You know, if you buy my insurance, I will replace them and find out who did that. But if you do not buy my insurance, NATO, I cannot guarantee that your windows will not be broken.
Well, more from Biden. His quote, Trump, doesn't understand that NATO's built on fundamental principles of freedom, security, and national sovereignty. Because for Trump, principles never matter. Everything is transactional. Dominic Biden also noted that NATO's Article 5, which states that an armed attack against one or more NATO country shall be considered an attack against them all. You know, that allies thing, not transactional, just allies, has only been invoked once, and it was to stand with the United States after the 9/11 attacks, right? America's adversaries have long wished for NATO's alliance to fall apart, the president added. One more quote. You can be sure that they all cheered when they heard that Donald Trump and heard what he said. I know this. I will not walk away. I can't imagine any other president walking away. For as long as I'm president, if Russian leader Vladimir Putin attacks a NATO ally, The United States will defend every inch of NATO territory. As for comment on Biden's remarks, the Trump campaign pointed to a statement from Trump advisor Jason Miller. What a... There's a special place in hell for that guy, Dom, but Jason Miller. Miller derided concern about Trump's NATO comments as worried by Democrat and media pearl clutchers and said that Trump had been effective in getting NATO countries to pay up when he was president. When you don't pay your defense spending, you can't be surprised that you get more war, Miller said. He's a small guy, isn't he? Repeatedly on Tuesday, Biden said that history was watching what Congress would do. One last quote to wrap it up here, Dom. Our nation stands at an inflection point in history, where the decisions we make now are going to determine the course of our future for decades to come. I say to the House members, House Republicans, you got to decide. Are you going to stand up for freedom? Are you going to side with terror and tyranny? Are you going to stand with Ukraine? Are you going to stand with Putin? Will you stand with America or Trump? I like this framing.
Yeah.
I believe this is damn good, Joe Biden. This is an effective communication, because if you believe in what Trump was espousing, if that guy, if he's your cult leader, if you're signing up for more of that, and we're going to let sovereign nations just get overrun by Russia, that's okay with you. That is not an American sentiment.
Not just sovereign nations, NATO allies.
Well, the Ukraine is not technically a NATO ally.
Oh, certainly, but he wasn't talking about Ukraine. Trump was specifically talking about NATO.
Sure.
Now, this bill that passed, a bipartisan bill passing the Senate for, what, $95 billion for aid to Israel, Ukraine, and other U.S. allies, that's what specifically brought this speech on.
But it does not go forward unless Mike Johnson brings it to the floor of the House, because despite the support of Democratic members, Republican members will kill this, or at least that's what he claims.
Let's hear Chuck Schumer in the Senate speaking to this very issue. Cut number 11, if you would please, Nate.
I am confident there are many Republicans in his caucus. I know I've spoken to a whole bunch of them who feel strongly we ought to pass this bill. And I will urge Speaker Johnson to step up to the moment and do the right thing.
He will not.
Do the right thing. Don't count on it, Schumer. Cut 12, please. House should pass it.
The House should pass our bill. It's been through the crucible of 4 months of negotiations and ups and downs. It passed the crucible on the Republican side of almost a majority of Republicans rejecting the result of their putative presidential candidate. We ought to stick with this bill.
And another one from Chuck Schumer in the Senate. The Dems were willing on this. Cut 13, please, Nate.
We Democrats were willing, as you know, to go many steps in the direction of a strong, tough border bill. Democrats were willing to support a bill supported by the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Democrats were willing to support a bill supported by the Border Patrol Union, which is very much a Republican organization.
We got time for Rojo? Let's lay that one out there if you can. No, no time, not enough
you
time.
Got
we have
off.
Ron Johnson has a comment on this as well. Perhaps we'll come back with a little Ron for all of you folks. President Joe Biden laying down the lumber today, Curry. I'm with you. I thought that was a great frame.
You know who else laid some lumber last night? Jon Stewart returned to The Daily Show last night. I watched it live. I'll share a few of his best. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Never mess the best of us. It's probably coming next.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Caller, be patient. We will get to you shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've got a little news. We can advance the conversation slightly on the fraud trial of Donald Trump. When will the verdict be rendered? Friday.
Yeah,
big maybe. Friday. Cannot wait, Dom. Judge Arthur Engoron is expected to issue his long-awaited, his imminent ruling, Dom, in former President Donald Trump's $370 million civil fraud trial on Friday, a source told the New York Daily News Tuesday. So if we can believe that source, Engoron to rule on Friday. You'll want to tune in, Dom. Can't wait. 844-967-2789. We'll take your calls. Also want to mention the return of Jon Stewart last night, man. I'd been looking forward to this for quite some time. I am big into like the Colbert. Remember when there used to be a Colbert report before he moved over to CBS? And it was John
Colbert
Stewart.
Was like one of the reporters on the Daily Show back in the day.
Well, he was, and he sort of did this Republican affectation. You know, he was like, he played the always Republican
O'Reilly.
Guy.
He was like the O'Reilly character.
It was a great character, and it played very well, and now he does it himself. But John Stewart, he only does John Stewart, man. It was funny last night. We got just a few. Let's share them, and then off to the phones. Again, 844-96-PARTY, political party up in here. Let's play Jon Stewart. I think we got three. Let's go first. I miss this guy.
Why am I back? You may be asking yourselves. It's a very reasonable question. I have committed a lot of crimes. From what I understand, talk show hosts are granted immunity, so it doesn't make a lot of sense, but take it up with the founders. I don't know.
That is exactly what we've been banking on since the day we became talk show hosts. More of the Jon Stewart from last night, his premiere. He's only doing Mondays on The Daily Show, Comedy Central, but it was a great night last night. Play for the people.
One thing we know for certain is this. We have two candidates who are chronologically outside the norm of anyone who has run for the presidency in this country, in the history of this country. They are the oldest people ever to run for president, breaking by only 4 years the record that they set. The last time they ran.
Was it 4 years ago? Seems like yesterday. One more from Jon Stewart, just because I miss this guy. Thank you, Nate.
The work of making this world resemble one that you would prefer to live in is a lunch pail job, day in and day out, where thousands of committed, anonymous, smart, and dedicated people bang on closed doors and pick up those that are fallen and grind away on issues till they get a positive result. And even then have to stay on to make sure that result holds. So the good news is, I'm not saying you don't have to worry about who wins the election. I'm saying you have to worry about every day before it and every day after.
Words that we live by here. We're in these trenches every day. We're fighting this battle.
Self-governance seems really hard, man. It seems like work.
It is damn hard, Dom. 844-967-2789.
He's right on.
2789. Jeannie from Middleton. Welcome, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Clarity. As you say, I love John Stewart as well, and I'm glad he's back. He's one voice of sanity in today's media. But at the same time, I did want to kind of comment about the, you know, like our elite suggesting that we're supposed to give endless amounts of money for foreign wars. And I say that I would attach some kind of contingencies to all those dollars. And my first contingency is the idea that we bring back the draft. And it would be for both male and female citizens. And I say that as a U.S. veteran. I'd also say that we have to pay as we go. We can't put it on the credit card. So that means they're going to have to increase some taxes on somebody. And equally so, I'd like them to have to make a objective media so that we are sure to inform the U.S. citizens of the critical information that they need to know to make informed decisions. And then as related to the draft deal, I'd also think that we should address the fitness status of our population. Because needless to say, given our current reputation of being obese and let's just say not the most work ethic population in the world, maybe it would be in keeping with what the draft needs would be.
Well,
so what's your thoughts when I say that?
Jeannie, I like to call this my Milwaukee alderman. Jeannie, I would say that's a lot of preconditions, and I certainly can appreciate most of them. But as a father with three kids that are potentially of draft age, two boys and a girl, hell no. Hell no are we going to the draft. Not over my dead body. I'll move the kids to Canada. We are not going that route. Not for the decisions we make under any of these administrations. It is very bothersome to me that every war must be funded with the supplemental. Meaning this $95 billion, that's above and beyond the $800 or $900 billion we spend for what? Peacetime strength? We spend nearly $1 trillion on our defense. That is what we make our priority, right? But every time a skirmish breaks out, a war breaks out, got to find some more cash for defense contractors. So I can certainly understand, Jeannie, why you would have that belief. Unfortunately, we wait until there's some hot tender box cooking in the Middle East, or the Russians have invaded Ukraine, and we cannot
fight wars those for people. Oil or for politics. I mean, you know what? What I don't want, and Jeannie, I appreciate your position. I hear what you're saying, but I don't want my kids being drafted for political wars. I mean, if we got the tanks rolling through, you know, downtown Milwaukee, you know, if Canada invades, I'm down. I hear what you're saying, but that's not the case. These are voluntary wars on our part, Jeannie. And to the point of our being lazy Americans and whatnot, it just, sorry, I didn't say this earlier, Crudy. Happy Fat Tuesday to you.
Thank you. I feel honored. I resemble that remark. 844-967. You know, I jumped on the scale today and it started tipping above. And you know how it kind of fluctuates? I didn't wait. I just saw it cracked above. I just jumped off. I just assumed it was coming back down and said, I'll wait a couple
days.
844-967-2789. Calling from God's country, our buddy Dana, listening on the Eagle, 1490 AM. How you doing, Dana?
Hey, Dana.
Hey, Dells. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, nice day today. Yeah, thanks for sharing those John Stewart clips. I haven't gotten to see it yet, but I'm glad he's back. You mentioned Colbert and how he was kind of a quasi-Republican. Actually, the Republicans actually used to think he was one of theirs. And, I mean, they actually believed he was like a Bill O'Reilly. And if you look it up, if you haven't seen it yet, back in the 2006, I believe, correspondence dinner, the Bush White House invited him. And he ripped into the entire administration. They were shocked. They didn't know it hit them. Look it up sometime.
Dana, be well, my friend. Come back with us. Your memories, you know, they got to be fresh because times are not as lucid. 844-967-2789. You remember, don't you? Yeah.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is asking two healthcare systems not to close two hospitals and several clinics in western Wisconsin. Baldwin tells HSHS and Prevea she doesn't want patients left without healthcare options. The two systems have announced plans to close hospitals in Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire and a number of clinics around western Wisconsin. Life is getting better in Wisconsin state prisons, but Governor Evers admits there's room for improvement. Evers recently toured Waupun and Green Bay after partially lifting the lockdowns in November.
I saw people outside of their cells doing some of the recreation things, some of the learning things that are going on there. I saw good things happening.
Evers on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. This is news from WGBW and WISS. A woman accused of supplying the drugs that killed her boyfriend is charged with causing his death. Stacy Gerling faces one count of first-degree reckless homicide and possession of drugs. Police say it happened at a home in Howard last November. A witness tells police Gerling got the fentanyl earlier in the day. The criminal complaint cites phone records and surveillance video of Gerling arranging and making the deal. No Democrat has officially announced a run for Congress in Northeast Wisconsin, but three potential candidates are said to be interested. They include Kristen Lyerly, Kelly Peterson, and Alicia Saunders. Republican incumbent Mike Gallagher announced Saturday he's not running for re-election. Republican Roger Roth announced his candidacy later the same day. Republicans Andre Jacques and Alex Brusewitz are said to be considering running. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Super Bowl's gain is Hollywood's loss. Yahoo Entertainment reports the box office numbers for Super Bowl weekend are as low as they've been in decades. Combined ticket sales took in $40 million, the lowest it's been since the mid-1980s. The combination of the Super Bowl and Hollywood actors and writers strikes, which brought Hollywood production to a halt for months, are to blame. While there was a big celebrity wedding following the Super Bowl, but it had nothing to do with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Super Bowl halftime show headliner Usher reportedly tied the knot with his girlfriend, Jennifer Goikowicz, following his performance at the big game. Performing at the Super Bowl halftime show in front of billions and then getting married in Vegas? Not sure how you top that nutty night on the Strip. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, some sun early, then clouds increasing in the afternoon, high in the mid-40s. Some rain developing tomorrow night, changing to snow overnight, an inch or so by Thursday morning. Some sun in mid-30s by Thursday afternoon. Current temp is 30.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Mm-hmm.
devil's advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. A Take It Back Tuesday. A happier, happy hour. Hope you're happy, Dom. See what you've done?
I'm happy. Happy enough.
844-967-2789. Got a few more thoughts, but we've got callers. We should get to them. Cam from Nina. Welcome back. Cam, what do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Okay, hear me out. Let's say CJ got...
All right, bye, Cam. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Go on. Start over.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, you guys muted me. Fair enough. Let's say CJ was drafted. What group do you think he'd be in?
What group would he be in?
What do you mean group?
Yeah, where would they deploy him to?
Well, you know, $1 trillion in defense spending gives us lots of different places around the world, Cam. So, you know.
Yeah, but
I suspect he would be digging lots of latrines, Cam. As a guy who served, someone's got to do it. That seems like CJ work to me. So if I were his platoon guide, no, KP is the kitchen. That's a little cleaner thing. He'd be digging the latrines and,
Beto Bailey did KP a lot, man. But I don't know. What do you think, Cam?
I honestly was just hoping that you guys had answers because I thought of it and I was just like, you know, they got to answer that question for me because I can't think of anything specific. I'm not a military guy.
See him having like an advanced MOS, like a job, a military job, like, you know, infantryman. And he's a strapping lad. He might be the guy hauling around the 60. That's what I, you know, more so the bandoliers, not the aiming and the shooting, just the heavy carrying of. That's a good role for CJ. Yeah, perhaps.
Hey, Cam, let me ask you as a younger American, we had a caller last segment talking about, you know, instilling the draft, bringing back the draft. Have you considered that? And what are your thoughts on something like that?
I was actually going to avoid talking about that because I know it sounds really like un-American, but man, like the thought of doing anything draft related for a political war or political theater, I'm not interested.
They're all political wars, Cam. I mean,
sure, fair.
Maybe World War II, we got Pearl Harbor. Everything else was a political decision on some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but imagine going to Iraq or Afghanistan.
Oh, I can imagine.
And seeing, I know you can, but I'm saying like, just in general, like when you see George Bush, what do you think? Him and his dopey ears and that big grin of his, what do you think?
I served under H.W. Bush and the invasion of Kuwait, the imminent invasion, the Iraqis, you know, had piled up on the border apparently. And then we sent a lot of troops and then it was over in like 2 weeks. You know, once the buildup was over, it was over because it didn't take us very long to get to Baghdad. But then, you know, it ended and the son felt like destiny owed his papa a victory, a real war, a clear and decisive victory over Saddam Hussein. Now, his son lied us into a war. And the only thing that was great about my personal experience, Cam, I actually joined the military under H.W. Bush. But as an 8-year reservist, I served most of my time under Slick Willie Bill Clinton, who was more of a lover than a fighter, if you know what I'm saying. So the peace and prosperity of the Clinton years kept my ass from going off to some other place.
Clinton had the only surplus that I recall in my lifetime.
Well, we didn't fight any wars under Clinton. 844.
Thank you for the call, Cam. Appreciate it.
844-967-2789. Thank you for repeating my words immediately after I say them. Echo.
We're an old married couple, man. You know, we got one of these. You're off next week, right? So I'm just going to roll without you next week so we won't be talking over each other. Right?
I'll be back on Friday. But yes, I'm vacationing with my real wife and my real family. People that.
I'm like your work wife.
Well, you know, they don't even try to pretend like they like me. That's the difference. Just bring your wallet,
you're tolerable for a couple hours a day, Crudy. It's okay. Wisco Paul, you're next. 844-96 party. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, just a couple of things here. First off, I do believe I'm correct when I say this. Ukraine, when they broke away from Russia or got their freedom or whatever you want to call it there, they gave up their nukes. And in return, NATO and the United States said, we'll protect you. So that's a signed document. And we need to keep our word on that one. And the thing about NATO, I think it's 1945, 46, something like that, or whenever it came into effect, and it's worked. You know, Europe's been war-free, so I don't think you should get rid of that. And as far as the draft, it's going back in time, but I was lucky enough to win the lottery in 1971.
The draft lottery, different sort of lottery, because some of the kids today might not know what you're talking about, Wisco.
Yeah, that's the only lottery I ever won in my life, by the way. But it's a kind of a different experience. So I really, you know, if you keep NATO and you fund Ukraine and work with other countries, hopefully you'll never need another draft again. So that's just my take on that, because it changed my life. I didn't have to go overseas, but, you know, some of it good, some of it bad. But and the last thing I want is, so I'm not for a draft,
so you did, by the way. You were drafted, Wisco. When you say you won the lottery, you won by losing. You were brought right into the military against your will.
That's correct.
Oh, so, man, I got to tell you. I would have been, you know, and I'm a guy who joined the military, but if you tried to make me do something, oh man, I'd be such a draft dodger.
No, you would have went. You'd have did it back in the time. I feel I know you really well. You would have went.
I might have joined. I might have, but if my number came up, I think it would, you know, it's like trying to convince someone to do something. When you tell them they got to do it, I mean, you couldn't convince me to go eat. If you told me I had to go eat some strawberry shortcake, I'd say, hell no. But if you said, hey, I got some strawberry shortcake, hell, can I have some?
I'd like two scoops, please.
Hey, can I go back to the one of the things that started off the day here with Tony's maps, and you two guys were talking about it. If I just heard right on the radio, it's going to be Tony's new maps, not the maps from 2021, excuse me. If that's the case, Punter has to take the new maps that he's, if that's the case that he submitted to the Supreme Court. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Great show, you guys. I just love listening to you. So have a great night.
Thanks, Paul. You too, man. Appreciate
Except
it, man.
Now I'm a little hungry for strawberry shortcake.
Like real strawberry shortcake from Lombardi's.
But only.
The real.
If you don't tell me, I got to eat it.
You know, I am the draft thing. Of course, I was born in 1971, didn't have to worry about it. You know, I had to register for Selective Service and all that. But, you know, that was not a thing. In my 50s now, you know, I'm not going to be the one. It'd be my kids. So problematic, certainly. Got an issue with that, especially when you're talking about, you know, like someone like a commander-in-chief like Donald Trump. And I'm saying, hey, Donald Trump's now the commander-in-chief, and he's going to send you guys to go fight with our new ally, Putin, to go kill all the Ukrainians, because, you know, there's lots of oil there. And we very rarely hear about...
Technically, it's natural gas, Don, but please continue.
You know, whatever. Minerals, call it what, I mean, resources, call it what you want. Timber, land. I mean, look over the course of the years. You know, you want something, you're going to make some money on it, you go kill the people that have it. So that's obviously not acceptable in my mind, short of, you know, tanks rolling over the borders. That being said, though, and what I think the downside of not having a draft is the willful disengagement of our political process, of our self-governance. When you looked at, you know, from the 60s and the 70s and the civil rights movements and the anti-war movements and all those kinds of things, you know, that generation was facing the very real possibility that you know, they could be sent off to war for a quote unquote political reason. Right. And, you know, there's money to be made in wars. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a matter of pure self-defense.
If you do it right, there's money to be made in peace, Dom, but please continue.
Right, right. But so when you rightfully ended the draft, I think personally, when we rightfully ended the draft, I think what we also did was we provided an opportunity for the younger Americans to be disengaged with the self-governance, because all of a sudden you're really, 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 really tuned in when you figure out that whoever is elected can send you off to fight a war for whatever reason they think. So all of a sudden their judgment becomes very important to you. Their background, their philosophy, their history, those things matter when all of a sudden it becomes the fact that you could be on the receiving end, on the front lines and in some war because they're trying to, you know, protect the shipping lane.
What precisely makes you think that the draft is a thing of the past? I mean, if we had some sort of land war, absolutely they would reinstitute the draft. I mean, they just decommissioned the draft until they need the draft again. You know, they wanted the draft in World War II, then they needed it in Korea, and then they needed it in Vietnam.
Did they need it? I mean, so yes, it's obviously.
Needed the grunts to go.
It's a political legislative act, certainly, and you can still do that. But my point being is the lack of that, call it threat to your life, to be drafted into.
But what makes you think that that's been dissipated?
Perhaps what allows folks to be disengaged with whatever the hell they're doing, it's not me.
Well, you've been disengaged, you know, accepting these fine shows we do on the radio together for most of our lifetime.
No,
disengaged geopolitically, dude, because you never felt it.
I speak from experience, Crudy. Yes, absolutely disengaged, willfully disengaged. Didn't care, didn't matter, wasn't me. I'm over here making my money, doing my thing.
Makes you think that if our nation had some sort of a war, they wouldn't reinstitute the draft?
I mean, another war? I mean,
another war.
A military action? A police action?
I don't mean a police action in Grenada, Reagan. I'm talking about a war. A war.
Like the Iraq war?
Like the Middle East, you know, starts dragging us in.
Well, like the war you signed up for.
That was less than a war. That was something of a police action, let's call it. I mean, didn't turn into a war, Don, but if we had a war, your kids and my kids, if they ain't in college, if they don't have a rich daddy, and unfortunately our kids don't, unless there's
some bone spurs, right? I mean, come on.
Their personal Vietnam, maybe trying not to get an STD in the clubs of New York like Donald Trump.
His own personal Vietnam.
But right. I got to tell you, Dom, if there is a draft, they're going to draft people. And there would be a draft if there was a war and they felt like they needed soldiers.
Absolutely. How many wars have we fought since the draft's not been in here?
I would say zero.
Actions all the time.
Sure.
Right?
Every dozen years. Right. So some sort of military action. They have not.
There's going to be the political willpower for folks to start drafting their own kids into a war for what?
I think if it was a U.S. involving war, there's some sort of a World War III going on, dude, and everybody's getting drafted. And you might find that, you know, by staying in shape into your 50s, you made yourself eligible for expanded service. They'd find a role for your ass.
I need a punch key, man.
Somebody's got to dig those trenches for the latrines. You and CJ, you guys would be cheap labor.
Hey, I'm just not. Just bring the morphine, dude. We'll be fine.
The same fear of war that I would have, that some conflict in the Middle East, that some incursion of the Russians could somehow embroil NATO nations, could pull us in. Remember what we were talking about this hour? Joe Biden says, you know, any NATO nation, we're going to defend every inch. What if, you know, the emboldenment of Putin pushes him to go invade another country, a NATO country?
Don't we already have a standing army? What makes you think a draft would be necessary to do those things?
I don't think it would be sufficient, although, you know, the Russians haven't exactly shown themselves to be the superior fighters. It's almost like the graft of the Putin reign has somehow robbed them of their military might. But we'll talk more. Devils, come back, please.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply to...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Stick around. Busted Pencils coming up next.
Going to the phones, did you say, Dom? That seems like a swell idea. Best one you've had all day. Let's get to them. 844-96-PARTY. Matt from Middleton. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Matt.
Hello, Devils. I would say that Mayor Pete back in 2016 mentioned national service. I think it's very important and might be necessary today with all of our fractioning of society among socioeconomic classes, the divisions, the lack of understanding in civics, the need to bring people of different classes together and have projects. And just a renewed faith in the Western system that's under threat right now by the fascists and the Trump people that support Trump because they've given up on that. They no longer believe that it works for them, and that's not necessarily correct.
Matt, I like your plan. Let me ask. I was going to ask how we implement this plan. Let's say it's a job corps, not the military. Go ahead. What's your plan?
Well, today's military is very technical, so a lot of people with lower IQs aren't necessarily needed. So I think that my plan would be to implement it on a domestic national service front where people of all IQs and classes are welcome to do it, and there's a somewhat of a promise that, you know, if a war is enacted and American politicians are responsible, there's one level of you know, you have to go or you don't, as opposed to if a war is actually needed and Russia continues to move across the planet and China comes in. And because we have to look at the geopolitics of today, and climate change is going to cause massive disruptions. And the world order is right now shifting. And the idea that we can sit comfortably and pretend like things are normal as Americans because we're lucky and we're very fortunate, that is absolutely incorrect and not a way to think about things. And the other thing is that if a draft is implemented and people serve, a vote for Trump would go down to practically 3%. Only the extremists would vote for him because their blood is on the line. People would no longer, but they would pay more attention. They would not buy into the propaganda and nonsense.
But man, isn't Trump isolationist?
Building wetlands. Huh?
Isn't Trump isolationist? I mean, you've had lots of great thoughts, but let's unpack a few. Trump, make America great again is. Go ahead.
I don't think he necessarily is. I think it's all about deals and money to him and what he can profit personally from. And the people he wants to put into government around him want to fundamentally change the Constitution and America. And I don't know how bad that'll be, but I know it's going to break a lot of things. And when you break stuff and you're not smart, like Trump is not a very smart guy. He can't even read. He needs pictures. So he would break things to a point that war probably would happen.
Matt, what was the old motto? Pier 1, I think. You break it, you buy it. Didn't we have Colin Powell tell us that once? You break it, you buy it. When the United States breaks a foreign country, we've bought the consequences, the wars, the incursions.
The legacy, the history, it's all ours then if you're engaged in that.
You know, Matt's doing some multi-level thinking. It's kind of harsh in my buzz, though. Let's keep moving.
No, great call, Matt. Appreciate
it. It was a great call. 844. I know. It's a scary world out there, and I was just trying to have fun, talk about my boy John Stewart coming back and, you know, get some yucks on the radio with you. Here's a ever-optimistic guy, our buddy Rico from Rock County. He's already laughing. Welcome back, Rico. Make me happy again.
Hey, Rico. Oh, you got rid of the beat, man. You got rid of the beat. Messes me up now. There's no more beat. There used to be a beat, but don't worry about that. Hey, I want to thank Wisco for his service to the country. I really do, you know, because
he didn't have a choice. He got drafted to hear him tell it.
Well, thank me for my service
in a penal institution. Because I went to jail for this country, you know, to make the streets safer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I won the lottery, too, in the fact that just prior to me turning 18, they ended the draft altogether. And I'll tell you what, growing up during them days, there was only three networks. I want you kids and you younger listeners to think about this. And every night they would be on the news, doesn't matter what network you watched, telling you how many guys died that day, every day of your life as a kid. And it only brings me back to one thing. Don, you're going to like this one. Metallica, Sandman. That's how I grew up. The monster was the Vietnam War. So just wanted to get that out. Thanks, guys.
Well, that didn't feel very cheerful, Rico. Getting all real on us.
Hey, man, war is hell. You can't deny that stuff, man. That's why the engagement part, I think, you know, we had a couple of callers that kind of referenced that. When it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. You know,
come on, man, and I've been liking on Facebook for years. I've done my part.
Yeah. I've been posting on TikTok. I haven't.
844-967-2789. Actually, we now have a TikTok account. Go find the Devil's Advocates.
All right. All right.
Margaret from Cottage Grove, you'll get the last word today. What is it?
Hi, Margaret.
Hi there. I just thought I'd relay a family story.
Do it, Margaret. Please. Just make it a quick one because we're running a little short on time.
Okay. In 1971, my oldest brother was drafted, but he had an appointment to Annapolis. And he couldn't pass physical. His number was number 27. My next youngest brother, who was also in that draft, was a conscientious objector. And he drew 366, leap year.
Margaret, really appreciate that phone call. I mean, think about your whole life being determined by where you end up in the draft lottery. And I don't mean like Aaron Rodgers sort of life. I mean, your ability to live and not serve your nation in a foreign jungle or desert or whatever.
The greatest generation fought the fascists. That's what they did. And now we're still talking about the same thing these many, many years later.
And you stayed up all night smoking reefers and listening to Dr. Dre. Thank you all for listening. Busted Pencils is next. I know it's true. I was there.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Tuesday on Nightlight, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins the show. Check us out in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Todd Almost Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.